Greetings to all our listeners. Welcome to Sustaining Sustainability series by EVA India Insights podcast, where we illuminate pressing environmental issues in observance of World Environmental Day. I'm Pallavi, your host for today's enlightening dialogue. We have the distinct honor of welcoming Nitesh Mehrotra, the EVA India partner in sustainability and ESG practice. With over two decades of experience, Nitesh excels in creating robust ESG frameworks and evaluating ESG performance across various business models. A pivotal member of EY's Global Sustainability Executive, his expertise is sharpened by esteemed programs and certifications from leading institutes like NCERD, Stockholm Resilience Centers. Nitesh's vision for sustainability transformation is both expansive and urgent, aspiring to match the scale of the industrial revolution with the pace of our digital era, ultimately delivering value to every stakeholder. Today, we will navigate the climate science challenges and pathway India faces and also exploring strategic mitigation and adaptation measures. Welcome to the show, Nitesh. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Pallavi. It's great to be here and I look forward to our conversation on such an important and critical topic.
Thank you, Nitesh. So before we deep dive, could you share with us listeners on the need for urgency on sustainability discipline for our planet?
So as we all know, I think climate change and social inequity are the biggest challenges faced by humanity today. So let me start sharing with our listeners a quick refresh and perspective on this, covering both where we are today and I think more importantly, where we are heading. So I think if you look at our overall planetary compass as 20 odd thousand scientists have been analyzing that with a lot of data. I think starting with climate change and global boiling, as United Nations has termed it, right now we're at about 1.2 degrees Celsius at the moment. All of us in the country are facing the heat wave, so we can all relate. We have just seen what's happening in Brazil and East Africa with the impact of climate change. And just a reminder for all of us, the world came together in Paris in 2015 and we agreed to 1.5 degrees Celsius or well below 2 degrees Celsius. And I think, as I said, we are already at 1.2 degree plus minus, but where we are heading in this century is about 3 degrees Celsius. And I think that's the latest point that we need to be considering for the need for urgent action. And this is considering all the pledges, NDCs, commitments that the governments and the companies have been making. So clearly a need for urgent action on the climate. I think if I were to talk a little bit about social aspect, believe it or not, there are about more than 50 million people still living in modern slavery. And as per International Labour Organization, 85% of those are still in the private sector embedded within the supply chain. So again, a cause for real worry and change. And connecting to all of that is in terms of the, especially on the climate, the impact of GDP that we all analyze in 2022 was about 1.8 degree. But importantly, where we are heading is about 10% of GDP at risk due to climate change annually. So put this, in all perspective, I would say, we need about $3 to about $4 or $5 trillion yearly on both adaptation and mitigation. And if you were to go by 10% of GDP at risk, the world GDP is at about $100 trillion, so about $10 trillion of GDP at risk. So as we all say, right now, it's still cheaper to save the world than destroy it. So I think it's quick perspective for your readers, Pallavi.
Thank you, Nitesh. That's a very strong existential case for our survival. Not sure if we need to create any further business case around this. Moving on, for India Inc., what is your research highlighting on the overall impact and awareness on the subject?
I think that's a great point, Pallavi. So we've been analyzing, I would say, you know, with a lot of data, with a lot of credible data that's available at the moment, in terms of what's the overall India's GDP exposure and population exposure to the climate risk that we touched upon a little bit. And then, as you said, also on the India Inc., the leading companies, you know, how they're aligned to UN Paris Agreement and also the mitigation and adaptation plan that the companies are taking for both climate and nature change. So I'll start with the India's GDP exposure. So I think if we were to look at the GDP exposure to wildlife, flood, sea level rise or storms, the percentage exposure to India's GDP is at about 50%, right? So it's a massive exposure to the country. And we have further analyzed in terms of the GDP exposure to agriculture land at risk of water stress. We all know water is a big, big challenge in the country. And that's at about 30% at the moment. And I think if we were to look at the other scenario that we've analyzed is in terms of the population exposure to heat waves. That is also very significant at about 40%. And we're all seeing the impact of the heat waves at the moment in the country. So a significant point, and I think the point to drive is that what is the adaptation and mitigation measures that the country is taking to adapt to that. Moving on, I think we've also analyzed how is India Inc. aligned to UN Paris Agreement. As I said, in 2015, that was a landmark agreement. And we see about 56% of the Indian companies are still strongly misaligned to Paris Agreement as of now. So they are about 3-degree trajectory. And only 25% of the leading companies in India are aligned to the Paris Agreement. So obviously, again, a need for urgent action. We've also been analyzing the mitigation and adaptation plans the companies are disclosing, talking about for climate. And our data shows that there are fewer than 100 companies in India that have at least publicly disclosed some of these plans and transition at the moment. So again, I think a important cry for action that needs to be done to make sure we mitigate the risk and make sure there are no surprises, you know, to the leading companies in the country.
Thank you, Nitesh. Building on the previous question with effects to climate change becoming more apparent, India faces a unique challenge and opportunities. Could you begin with giving us a further perspective on the primary climate risks that India is currently facing?
Yeah, so Pallavi, building on to, I think what we touched a little bit earlier, I think overall, if I were to see, India faces a very tricky balance because we need to boost the living standard of our 1.4 billion citizens while still adapting, mitigating, you know, to the climate change aspect that we touched upon. And I think I'll also highlight that it's very pertinent to note that India has been, through various, you know, models, been ranked the world's fifth most vulnerable country to climate change. And the reality is, I think we are obviously one of the lowest per capita consumption of energy and greenhouse gases. You know, to the point that we always say that people who have done the least will bear the most brunt, which is the poor population. And we are at the front line of this change that is coming at the moment. I would also say, I think it's important, and I tell our you know, folks from Global North, especially, that it's important to know that 3/4 of the country is still to be built. And I think that's why India's challenge to reimagine its policy and system in a sustainable way that doesn't leave its people behind is very, very critical. And that's why the cry for just transition, as we call, so that our adaptation, I would say more importantly, has to be nuanced to the global south and what's needed for our country in India.
Thank you, Nitesh. For our listeners specifically, would you want to share any leading framework for climate-related risks or opportunities and financial impact?
Yeah, Pallavi, absolutely. So I think, again, there are a lot of frameworks, but one of the most leading frameworks is certainly a framework, again, at the cost of using an acronym or jargon. It's called TCFD, Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosure. And again, the reason I'm mentioning it, it's a mature framework, which most countries, companies are adopting. Even RBI has now asked the financial companies to adopt that into their frameworks, and this TCFD framework has it's a relatively simpler framework. It has 4 layers, 11 recommendations, and as I call it, this the TCFD onions. It talks about that how we are embedding climate change in our strategy, I think, which is very critical from a business standpoint. How are we integrating into our risk management, the ERM framework, how we are embedding into the governance, because tone at the top, as we all know, is very critical. And what are our specifics, meaningful metrics and targets that we are disclosing, as well as obviously monitoring on a real-time basis. And also, just to dive a little bit, it does talk about 2 pillars on the left-hand side, obviously on the risk, because that is what we need to mitigate and adapt to. And within risk, we talk about the transition risk as the world is transitioning, and also the physical risk, that's coming from the climate change at the moment. But also, I think it's important to note that there are a lot of opportunities that may also come. And I think from an India standpoint, one could argue that given the state that we are in, 3/4 of the country is not built, could we build differently? And I think hence a lot of opportunity for us, both in terms of energy transition, our agriculture transition, and also, be in terms of new product and services and a new model that we could show to the global north. So I think, again, we need to obviously focusing on risk and opportunities. But more importantly, I think what this framework talks about, that how do we really translate the risk and opportunity into our financial statement, right? Because we all know what we can't measure, we can't really improve and track. And I think that's why this concept of making sure this relatively fuzzy concept of climate change, we bring that to our financial statement in terms of our P&L, balance sheet, cash flows, so that we can then think through and take meaningful decisions and capital allocation as we move ahead.
Thank you, Nitesh. Now, pivoting towards digital, how can emerging technologies like AI create real-time alerts for both risk and opportunities?
Yeah, I think it's a very important question, Pallavi, and I guess no conversation is complete without AI these days. But truth be told, obviously, I think we've been looking at it in terms of various use cases that the emerging tech, digital, and especially AI and Gen AI can help accelerate this transition and mitigate. And while there have been a lot of use cases, everyone's been doing a lot of pilots, but I think we are seeing really mature business cases that are emerging to accelerate. And I would like to share with our listeners just few which are relatively mature, and I've seen our clients really leveraging and create value. I think the first one is clearly, the data discovery. Where is the data? How do we really look at interdependencies and also look at the trade-offs? And that the whole aspect of data discovery, as I call it, I think AI can really make it simpler and accelerate with that. I think the second theme is, certainly on the modeling of the climate scenarios and predicting what's going to happen, because truth be told, while we have data, we're still not able to predict where the risks are with the relative accuracy. And I think that's where this whole aspect of geospatial AI, as we call it, there are about 200 odd satellites tracking climate scenarios at the moment. As some of your listeners may know, there's a new satellite that's going to track methane going forward, so that we're able to create a lot of transparency on the data. So I think predicting climate scenarios is certainly a great use case that companies are starting to embed. And the last, and certainly not the least, I would say, where I've seen some leading companies make great progress at the moment, is on the supply chain intelligence, because I think a lot's being done in terms of plucking the low-hanging fruits, as we call it, on the four walls of the organization. But we all know the supply chain, both upstream and downstream, is where the change needs to be driven, from large company standpoint. So I think having the traceability of data, and again, strengthening resilience through AI on the supply chain, is, I think, a great business case that is being driven leveraging technology. So I think these are just few, Pallavi, just for your listeners that I wanted to share.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Nitesh. Your insights have been invaluable in understanding the complexity of climate risks and the actions needed for a sustainable future in India.
Thank you, Pallavi. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for having me. And hopefully we could provide some good context. And I would say, again, at the cost of repeating, the need for urgent action that needs to be done to make sure we both mitigate the risk and also create opportunities for a more sustainable world.
Thank you, Nitesh. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning into this important conversation. Together with right knowledge and action, we can create a resilient India in the face of climate change. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more discussions like this. Until next time, stay informed and proactive about our planet's health. Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.